mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 84. It doesn't burn. Huojin waved a lantern through the column of warm vapor, looking even more dubious now than he had the first time. The lantern flickered, almost going out. This is supposed to be venting pressure off Asagi Tatsu. Kai swears there should be some natural gas coming up in these fumes. The elderly earthbender in charge of the easterly vents nodded, bare toes twitching against the ground as he surveyed his vexing phenomenon. The earth channels reach down into the same core. It shouldn't be a fire fountain, young lord, but there should be a flame. Couple of kids saw this wasn't burning, decided to toss stuff through it. Huojin sighed. Started with leaves, went on to matches and candles. I've got them doing laundry now. The hard, heavy, rock-pounding stuff. He rolled his eyes. So, not burning. Why? The guard narrowed his eyes at it. And how soon should we start running? It doesn't feel like a spirit. Move back. Frowning, Zuko lit a lash of flame and flicked it at the shimmering air. Like the lantern, his whip dimmed. Well, whatever's in there, we don't want to breathe it. Longshui? It's some kind of air. The island-born Yaoren whirled a small sphere out of the column, molding it between his hands. Feels funny, though. In what way does it seem odd? Zuko glanced at his uncle. I thought you were going to meet the Northern Water Tribesmen when they docked. And keep anybody from killing each other. That was why Saluen was down at the shore, instead of keeping an eye on her little brother. Kyoshi Island's reputation for neutrality, and then coming in on the Avatar's side, would hopefully slow down any violent reactions. We suspected spirits at work, Iroh said easily, studying the waver of hot gases. They will understand. Right. And Captain G was about to take up dancing with feather boas. The skepticism must have bled through his try at polite neutrality, because Iroh smiled. The Fire Nation may leave spirit matters in the hands of great names and fire sages, but the water tribes live closer to the will of the world. We could learn a great deal from them. Sure we can, Zuko thought dryly. Things like how to hide from the rest of the world for 80 years and then get saved by a giant water monster. The Spirit of the Moon had hid out as koi fish for Agni's sake. If she had to be scaly, couldn't she at least have picked a leopard shark? So, Iroh went on, as if the thought of unescorted northern tribe members wasn't sending visions of watery, drowned doom dancing through his head. How is the gas odd? It moves weird. Longshui reshaped his airball, frowning. A lot of it's like, well, like air, but part of it just wants to fly loose when I bend it. It's like... He chewed his lip as if trying to bite down to the right words. Like trying to bend a flooding stream full of rocks and feathers. The feathers keep drifting to the surface. Huojin raised a startled brow. Zuko frowned. Something about the description tweaked a memory. Not one of Kuzan's. Something much more recent. Kai was looking at them all as if they'd been sunstruck. Air isn't anything like honest earth. He didn't say it was rocks, Zuko defended his fellow Yaoren. Pumice isn't the same as granite. Seawater doesn't bend the same way as a river. Grass fires are fast and cool. Wood fires are hotter. Air can be different. You're a miner. Years retired to Ba Sing Se, from what Zuko knew. But no one here was really retired now. You know about damps. That I do, the gnarled earthbender admitted. That's not a calm thought, young lord. Outside the mines, air should be air. Good, pure, healthy to breathe. If this is what I suspect, It would not harm one to breathe it for a moment, Iroh stated, though it would be startling. Can you bend those feathers together? Long Shui's brows drew down. His hands moved in smaller and smaller circles until he was spinning a globe the size of a small lemon. Now what? This should not be dangerous, but it is delicate work. Iroh circled a finger near the sphere, sparks crackling in its wake. In the spinning air, sparks glowed orange-red, flecked with deepest violet. Ha! As I thought. Iroh let the charge fade and nodded to Kai. Seal this vent. We would have to tap deeper into the reservoir of natural gas to burn off fumes here. And that may be more trouble than it is worth. We do not have the resources to exploit this yet. But in time, it may bring us closer to our neighbors than we dared imagine. Closer to... Zuko thought back on that odd-colored spark. The half-heard conversations between refinery workers rescued from the Nara gas fields years ago. The tsunami had done more damage than anyone expected there, given they used unique devices in that field to produce not only natural gas, but its sun damp? It is indeed. Iroh looked into the distance, calculating. This could be of great value to us, eventually. What's sun damp? Long Shui's gaze flicked between them, wary as he let the gas flow away. And is it about to jump out and eat us? Huojin put in. Zuko snorted and shook his head. Short term, it's fine. Just don't breathe it. And long term? The guard persisted. Ah! Iroh waved them all toward the docks, obviously planning to belatedly greet his guests. That is where things become interesting. So this is where you finally washed up. Leaning away from the table as the firebenders kept talking, Paku eyed the young healer who'd followed in Kana's paddle strokes decades before. Though Amaya's trip hadn't been nearly as favored by the spirits, he could understand Kana taking off for the Southern Water Tribe. A bit. He'd given her his necklace despite the elder's frozen disapproval, knowing full well the waterbending masters of the tribe wanted such a talented young man to settle down with a healer for a wife so he could raise strong, waterbending sons. They'd both been such stubborn youngsters. But Kana wasn't a waterbender, and she hadn't had the patience to change their minds. Or perhaps she'd just been practical enough to see the elders' brains were frozen in their ways. She'd taken a kayak and a set of supplies and set out southward. That had been then. When years later Amaya had taken off rather than consider the elder's proposal on his behalf, it did make a man wonder. Kana had at least joined their distant kin. Amaya had paddled off to the Earth Kingdom rather than be faced with his necklace. Was every woman he'd chosen to show interest in destined to never be satisfied? At least Kana had mellowed with time. From that fire-etched necklace at her throat, he doubted Amaya ever would, particularly given the way she folded her hands over each other on the table, giving him a look he was accustomed to aiming at his more feckless students. You haven't heard a word Prince Zuko said, have you? There wasn't that much to hear. Paku flicked a gaze over the younger members of his impromptu delegation. Brown-tufted Tunerk closed his mouth, the young waterbender obviously thinking better of repeating any incautious statements about being grateful for fire fountains in the midst of an honest harbor. You're planning to face an army of firebenders with only a handful of benders of your own. If the drowned in the water don't kill you, the volcano will. And if you manage to placate both of those, an army's coming to wipe out my tribe. Again. Only this time they've abandoned the sea to profane the air instead. And if they decide to wipe out Ozai's rebel son on the way. Zuko's good eye narrowed at him, but the youngster said nothing. Very unlike a firebender. It might slow them down for a few days, Paku went on. So go ahead. Try to fight the Fire Lord's best forces by throwing rocks at them. I'm sure we could use a few more hours to prepare. He gave Iroh a deliberately unimpressed look. The only thing I don't understand is this sun damp you seem to think is so important. Ozai's fleet is, all hot air. He shrugged. If it's wet hot air, well, that just makes things simple. A few waterbenders in the right place to raise some freezing mist, and we can let the sea have them all. That lone brow went up, lowered again as the young firebender glanced at his uncle, a sidelong look that might have been amused if the situation weren't so dire. The Grand Lotus cleared his throat. In this case, old friend, damp does not mean wet. It is a vapor, as much as fog or steam are, a part of air that may indeed damp out a flame as swiftly as a glass bell. If he hadn't been watching the boy, Paku wouldn't have caught it. But he was, and that flinch of anger and betrayal was as visible as a drop of blood in clear water. For once, Paku was tempted to agree with a firebender. Old friends weren't supposed to help invade your city. Yes, by Sokka's account, Iroh had helped save the Moon Spirit by telling Princess Yue she bore its grace and so some of its life. But Paku couldn't shake the conviction that if General Iroh hadn't advised Zhao on how to carry out his invasion, then maybe, just perhaps. Chief Arnuk was proud and strong, but the loss of his only daughter had torn at his soul, and the loss of his only heir made the northern tribe's future dangerously precarious. One lucky shot at Arnuk before he and the tribe's elders could settle on an acceptable adoptive heir, and his people would turn on each other when they most needed to fight as one. Sundamp is unusual, Iroh went on, expression so mild, Paku knew the firebender had caught his frown. It is not poisonous, though breathing it will not sustain life. It does not burn, even though it is found in some vents of natural gas. But most important of all, it is light, much lighter than even hot air. Iroh's brows rose. So light, even sheathing a ward balloon in ice might not sink it. So you may have a problem, old friend. The sacks of sun damp that lift a war balloon are as vulnerable to ice as any ship's sails. But first, that ice must reach them. Paku opened his mouth to object, and closed it, long mustache bristling, as he recalled the slim reports the White Lotus had sent of Ozai's airships. Yes, waterbenders could fling razor ice high and far, hundreds of feet high, thousands. They might have a problem. Humph. He gave Zuko a long look, from eyes that had stared into the midnight sun. Your father spent years plotting to crush the world under his heel, and you think you can drag him back to Earth? Maybe I can't. Pale gold was colder than ice. But I have people who train to hit a flying target, and if the war balloons rise out of our range, then they're in temple territory. The young man didn't blink as he turned away from Paku toward the crippled youngster in his odd wheeled chair. What do you think? I think I really hope Aang and everybody got to the war balloons first. Teo gripped the arms of his chair, pale but determined. If he didn't, I want to know a lot more about Sundamp, but we already know the most important thing. What's in those balloons may be light, but it's still air. As if that matters, Paku almost said. The Avatar's not. The Avatar wasn't the only airbender anymore. Even more than the Yalren, that idea made his head hurt. Paku folded his hands together, fingers tapping against each other in calculated antagonism. And you think you can train Earthborn mountain clingers to shape the wind with nothing more than old scrolls and luck? Guess so. Teo gripped one wheel, tilting it back a little to give Paku a look as stubborn as Katara's before she'd done her untrained best to flatten him. Why, are you offering anything else? Longshui's helping us out, so air and water aren't that far apart. Willow bark tea. He needed some. Soon. I've heard you're the master of the water spout, Zuko said dryly. That's air and water. You probably could help them. If you felt like climbing up a mountain instead of down into caves after a musty old archive. That musty old archive holds knowledge that could set the world back on the right track, Paku stated, eyes narrowed. Did this young scamp of a firebender actually think he could prick a master's pride into helping this ragged band? It lasted through one eruption. We can't count on it surviving another. You want to get the White Lotus Archive somewhere safe. Zuko flattened his hands on the table. I agree. Losing that information once helped start this whole mess. But it is on my land, and some of my people are Yauren, including one of the Yauren whose past life died to mark that cache. I want copies. Copies of every document in there? Paku glared at him. There's not enough time. Not even if we had a battalion of print carvers ready to go, the prince agreed. But you have time to make copies of some of it. Do it, and give me the name of someone who will be obligated to deliver the rest of the copies if we survive. Pale Gold never wavered. Do that, and I will have no problems with the White Lotus taking the archives into their care. The name of... Paku trailed off, struck by a sudden foreboding. And the young man was quick, for all his stubbornness, Pale Gold narrowing at Paku for just a moment, before he turned to the firebender beside him. Uncle, is there something I should know? Oh, many things. Iroh stalled, stroking his beard. Paku kept his expression locked in a scowl, even when he wanted to bury his face in his hands. He didn't know. The most powerful man in the White Lotus is sitting right beside him, and he didn't know. Twi and La, he wanted to frost Iroh. We're doomed. Sir, a runner burst in, one of the fire sailors, from the color of his clothes. Sky Bison, heading this way. What do you mean the invasion fleet's coming right over us? One of these days, Sokka thought, studying a colorful layout of the northern coast plus Asagitatsu's caldera and the northern air temple, he had to find out who drummed it into Zuko's head to always have a map and give them a big hug. Unless it was Ozai. He didn't think it was Ozai. Sounded a little too practical for the guy who wanted to take over the whole world, but who knew? Okay, we're going off Aang's maps. Could be way out of date, Sokka admitted. There was this one place with an ice spring. Never mind. And if Toph were here, he'd get a poke in the ribs for that. But Toph had been corralled by Katara into Fire Sage wrangling. It'd taken all Katara's persuasion and an earthbender's stubbornness to get Shiyu to walk those last few feet into a water healer's den, even though he needed it. Apparently, prisons weren't good for your health. And given how bad seasickness had hit Shiyu afterward, well, Katara wasn't going to let the chance to consult with another healer go to waste. Even if she didn't agree with Amaya about betrothal necklaces or Fire Nation princes or, well, much of anything. But those maps worked for us to get all kinds of places. And if Aang's right about the winds coming from the way air just likes to move over the world, well, that shouldn't have changed much in 100 years, right? Not unless Toph got a few of her Earth Rumble buddies to pull up a new mountain chain. Suki tapped a fan she'd gotten from somewhere against the Elder Ring of the caldera. He said the High Wind Road cuts right across here, right? More like there, more or less. Sokka sketched the curve of up and down Aang had shown them. Maybe not straight over dragon's wings, but Aang had said the wind roads could be pretty wide. For a moment, Zuko looked as though he wanted to breathe fire, but he just took a slow, deliberate breath and kneaded the side of his temples above his scar. Damn. Suki frowned at him. He looks almost as bad as the day he shunned Aang, though maybe a little less wet. You didn't know? I don't think anybody here has flown that high, Zuko said plainly. Nobody in the temple even knew they could airbend 2 months ago. Before that, they were gliding on the hot air from Asagi Tatsu's vents. The higher you go, the less lift you've got. He grimaced. I knew you could find faster winds at altitude, but I had no idea where they went. He stared at the map again. Suki frowned, more than willing to jump in with more questions. Sokka shook his head. Wait, he mouthed. Thanks for the warning. Sokka pushed back in his chair, keeping his face open and serious. An alliance needed honesty on both sides. After that mess with General Fong, well, he figured Zuko would listen to blunt, plain self-interest a long time before he'd believe any pretty speeches. Hey, we're here for a reason. Make that a couple of them. One, Aang said he wasn't sure he knew what he was going to do with the storm, and if things went a little sideways, he might get blown a long way. He figured if we met up here, we'd at least have someplace safe to catch our breath. Two, Sokka had to brace himself for this one. If Aang's lost out there, we'd need a spirit miracle to find him. Now, this is Aang, we might get one. But the last time Aang went down in a storm, he froze solid for 100 years. And if the world spirit decides it's taking another time out, and heck, it might, we told Aang about Asagi Tatsu. And if the Avatar State took him over, it might figure the best thing to do is just take a nap while that volcano blows its top. Forget about the rest of us. If the world spirit thought it was that important to keep people from dying, Aang would have woken up a long time ago. He had to stop. He had to not think about Mom. Because that wasn't Aang's fault, and it wasn't Zuko's fault, and it wasn't his fault either. The Fire Lord's fault? Oh, yeah, definitely. Which kind of made him look forward to this. Or not. Not really. Stopping that fleet is up to us, Sokka stated. And if we're going to stop the Fire Lord, we'd better hit him before the day of the comet. Zuko gave him a long, cold look. Asagi Tatsu's still under pressure. If firebenders fight here, if they drop bombs the way they did on your invasion fleet, the whole caldera could go off. Yeah, Sokka said quietly. I know that. He had to look down at the map, matching colors and lines to the fields and houses and fish-drying sheds they'd flown over on Appa. Just the smell of salted fish had made his throat close up. It was so much like home. I hate to say it, but you know Ozai better than any of us. If he brings a fleet over Dragon's Wings, what do you think's gonna happen? I think a lot of people are going to die. Zuko looked at the map again and winced. Traced one of the caldera edges, fingers trailing up the map to the Northern Air Temple. We have some ideas on how to take the airships down. Teo's got a few more, but they're risky. You've worked with the Mechanist's people before. You know a lot more than I do about what an airbender can pull off and survive. He glanced up and spread an empty hand. Can you help them? Sokka tilted a raised eyebrow Suki's way. Well, Commander, want to meet a whole bunch of people just as crazy as Aang? He frowned, still trying his best to look confident, suave, and debonair. Bunch of airbenders. Doesn't quite work. Flight? Gaggle? Fluttery? From the way the Kyoshi warrior covered a giggle with her hands, not quite. Maybe we should ask them what they'd like to be called. Smarter than I am, Sokka said in an obvious whisper to the firebender. Grand's never going to believe I got this lucky. Which got a fan pitched over his head, but hey, he almost deserved that. Despite himself, Zuko snickered. Yeah, Sokka stood and cracked his spine back into line. Let's do this. Rebels, scallywags, and the flotsam of Ba Sing Se. Paku stepped down into the ancient archive, avoiding a moving stack of manuscripts that turned out to have a person under it. Not exactly the people I pictured following the heir to the dragon throne. It would seem the spirits decided that the dragon throne will serve other purposes, Iroh acknowledged. Sighing, he gave his sour-tempered friend a look of shared, amused tolerance. Forgive my nephew. He did not take the moon's gift well or gracefully. I can't imagine why. Paku strode between a crisscross of scroll cabinets to glare at the Khadzate's skull, eye to eye socket. He's only been told since he was 10 that he'd be Fire Lord after his father, including by you, who lived your life before Bossing Se as Azulon's own heir. Why in the world would he take that to heart? The Watermaster scowled at the skull, tilting his head one way, then another, as if to test a long-dead monster's hunting instincts. He was probably counting on the throne to save him from his insane sister. Sarcasm is a delicate garment, old friend. Iroh waved a dismissing hand. Let us speak of more pressing matters. It is appreciated by the discerning eye, yet it tears in careless company. Sarcasm? Paku didn't quite turn his back on ancient bones. I read your letters, Iroh. I tried to be polite answering them when matters turned to your own family. He drew a breath, let it wisp away as frost. Now I'd say that was a mistake. Iroh chuckled, missing the weight that would have made it look even more harmless. You tried to be polite? Paku turned from ancient ivory and slapped one hand on a still dusty scroll case. For once in your life, stop being impressed with how clever you are, and open your eyes. Blue narrowed at him. Healing may be women's work, but Yagoda consults me on some particularly tricky cases. When a young boy tells you his sister tried to smother him, moon and ocean, Iroh, it's possible his sister tried to smother him. Iroh held an old uncle's smile, never letting a trace of a grimace touch his face. Yes, certain members of his family were a bit less than completely sane, but how like water to circle the point? He waved at the shelves now growing empty. And what has that to do with our current difficulties? Paku's long mustache flicked with an impatient huff. What doesn't it have to do with them? I've been in our records, what few there are left from that long ago. Even the fragments make it clear the Great Spirits can't just draft another element's bender without permission. Given the odds of the Fire Lord's exiled son praying to the Moon Spirit for anything... Paku fixed him with a hard look. Your nephew's not as quick as Sokka, but once he knows something's off, he seems to have a way of burning through obstacles to take it down. Sooner or later, he will know who gave Law permission to meddle with his spirit. I wouldn't want to be you when he does. A chill unease crept down his spine. Iroh glanced around the archive, but Paku had picked his moment well. All the refugees who'd volunteered to help the White Lotus clear the archives were outside taking a break for food and tea. The only other man in earshot was Tenurk. The young waterbender didn't look happy to be overhearing this, but he was a junior Lotus as well as one of Chief Arnuk's lesser headmen. He knew to keep silent. Iroh cleared his throat. I admit, our current Yauren seem remarkably less than pious, given how close they are to the spirits. Of course they are! Paku lifted a scroll from yet another stack, unrolling it an inch to skim the first few lines. Chiefs believe. A hunter out on the ice believes. Those of us who have lost much to the spirits, they know. He rolled the ancient paper, as if careful attention to each curve of ink would save the world. It's easy to look over the ocean from a ship's deck and say how impressive a leopard shark is, when you're struggling in the storm waves and a shape of fins and fangs is trying to tear you apart. No. Paku stared at ancient bones, No, I doubt your nephew will ever believe Iroh. Not as you do. He's lost too much, and he won't sit idly by while you push him to lose more. Iroh flexed his toes in his boots, itching to take a threatening step forward. But no, these wounds were well scarred, and if sometimes Lu Ten's death ached as if it had been yesterday, still, he was a master bender, and he had long since mastered himself. Do you say I have not lost? Paku tapped his fingers on another shelf, raising bright motes of dust. Old friend, you lost your son to humans. Sad as that is, it happens. He swept an ancient cobweb out of a corner of old wood, looking more weary than angry. You taught your nephew he was born to rule, and then your prayers destroyed any chance he had, avatar or no avatar. He nodded toward the stairs rising out into the sun. Now these people have chosen to follow him. They need him, Iroh. I'm the farthest thing there is from a fire master, but your nephew's volcano isn't exactly subtle about what she wants. Long fingers traced an arc in the air, as if to encompass all of the caldera. And you think he'll abandon them to a hungry volcano? Abandon people he's loyal to pack up and sail for the North Pole because you say so? Iroh straightened to his full height, abandoning charm. We are here when the Avatar needs us. Even my stubborn nephew sees that cannot be an accident. He is a responsible young man, chosen by the spirits. He will put the world's needs first. Will he? As he did when he killed his insane sister rather than let her live to become Ozai's heir? Paku said acidly. Because Sokka tells me he's had the chance to do just that twice. Obviously, he hasn't. He's fought her. He's stopped her. But as much as it scorches me to admit, that young man is a waterbender and Azula is family. The watermaster advanced on him, eyes thin slits, as if he were staring across a dazzling snowfield. And you expect your nephew to abandon his duties to protect his own people so he can go to the Northern Water Tribe, who know very well he stole Avatar Aang away when your admiral attacked our guardian spirits, and fight his father? Iroh coughed into his fist. That is not quite the way it happened. Do you think Chief Arnuk cares? Paku shook his head, like a Komodo rhino shaking away a pesky mosquito hornet. He lost his daughter, Iroh, and that wound's a bit fresher than Lu Ten. Your chief follows the will of the spirits, Iroh said firmly. Most of the time. But our nuke's human. Paku didn't give an inch. One slip, one careless word of who and what your nephew is to your people, and he's in the water and drowning. He may not be the sharpest blade in the armory, but your nephew is not stupid. Iroh allowed himself a glare. The balance of the world requires not stupid and a waterbender. The day he fights his father without his own people's lives on the line is the day I take up lava sculpting. He was, Iroh decided, insulted. Zuko is no longer loyal to Ozai, he said flatly. He broke his loyalty to his father. It nearly cost him his life. Do I need to toss you in a waterspout to wash out your ears? Paku crossed his arms, frost appearing where his fingers brushed his sleeves. This isn't about loyalty. This is about family. The waterbender raised a white brow. Though I wonder, you were on campaign when your brother was born. You spent most of his life burning down the Earth Kingdom. Have you ever thought of Ozai as family? Or was he just Azulon's spare, the luckless idiot who got stuck with the throne when you couldn't bear to be bothered anymore? For a moment, Iroh saw red, heard a sudden silence, and tracked it to where Tinurk had ducked into a defensible corner, face pale and a water skin on hand. More sensible than his teacher, Iroh decided. You go too far. Insane or not, enemy of the world or not, he is my brother. And he is Zuko's father. Paku let the sneer fall away, face lined and sad. Old friend, take it from one who tried to teach the Avatar what not to do. There are things you can't ask of a man, of anyone. There are things no human can ask, true. But Sozin's line wrought a grave injustice on the world, and Sozin's line must atone for that terrible wrong. Whatever you may think of Prince Zuko, he knows his duty. Iroh inclined his head, one old soldier to another. And I know my nephew. This will work. This isn't working. Aang blinked sand out of gummy eyes, dragging in a breath that only tasted a little like sea spray. More like green trees and hanging moss, and maybe a few birds. And, oh, monkey feathers. He was glad to be breathing anything. The last time he'd gone one-on-one with Lightning, it'd taken Katara and Zuko to put him back together. And watching those two circle each other like leopard sharks was scary. Jungle. Solid ground under him. When the last thing he knew, he'd been falling out of the sky onto a sea full of ghost ships. Where am I?